Who is there for heroes of the families left behind when a service member or first responder dies or is catastrophically injured in the line of duty? Who helps our country's homeless veterans? And who helps our nation to never forget 9/11? Let me tell you who: the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. The foundation's Gold Star, Fallen First Responder, Smart Home, and Homeless Veteran programs comprise their In the Line of Duty programs. They're all dedicated to honoring our nation's heroes and their families. The foundation's Never Forget programs engage people in 9/11 remembrance across America. Over 80 runs, walks, and climbs a year. Dozens of golf outings. And the Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Institute is educating kids kindergarten through 12th grade to help our nation keep its vow to never forget. More than 95 cents of every dollar you donate to Tunnel to Towers goes to its programs. Never forget the sacrifices of our country's greatest heroes. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. The
stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
You're listening to the Buck Sexton Show podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A violent weekend in America as mass shootings hit multiple cities across the country, including Buffalo, New York, where a gunman killed 10 people in a local supermarket. As expected, the left wasted no time in pointing the finger at Fox News and conservative media. We'll take a look at the deadly shooting and the political fallout in tonight's Hold the Line. Welcome to Hold the Line. I'm Buck Sexton. Horrific violence over the weekend in a number of deadly shootings. The one that is getting the most attention, as it should, is a mass murder of African Americans in Buffalo, New York, in a supermarket by a white supremacist evil lunatic. There was also a shooting that occurred in California, and that was in a church. It was actually a Chinese national targeting Taiwanese members of the congregation. That shooting resulted in only one fatality because the congregation was able to step in and tie up, actually, the shooter. There was also, outside the Milwaukee Bucks game over the weekend in Milwaukee, a shooting that injured 20. Many people were hit with either gunfire or were trampled by fleeing crowd. So it was clearly a weekend with a lot of major violence. There's actually a curfew in effect in the most well-known park in Chicago, where I was over the weekend, because of a fatal shooting that occurred there. We'll get into some of those details in just a moment. Of course, apologies, as you can hear, I have a cold, so I'm struggling through that one right now. But let's just understand that these horrific shootings are something that should immediately be treated as evil acts that have to be seriously discussed in terms of the prevention measures that could actually work and what policies and what ideas could stop further shootings like this from happening. It should not be, as unfortunately it turns into so quickly, a time for the left to just start slandering all of their political opponents and acting like somehow, specifically in the case of Buffalo, that mass murder And yes, a terrorist act by a white supremacist lunatic, that act was in any way the result of rhetoric from people in the Republican mainstream, in the Republican Party, conservative commentators. So we should have a serious conversation about how to stop these kinds of things from happening. That would involve data and involve reason and open debate and discussion. Instead, what we have are people pointing fingers at those who have nothing to do with such a heinous act. There's countless examples of this over the weekend. Here is Washington Post editor Eugene Robinson, for example, who is blaming Fox News and the GOP for the terrorist attack in Buffalo. Watch.
Speech has consequences, and what they are doing, and they're doing it deliberately and knowingly, is they're going after votes, campaign contributions, television ratings, with rhetoric that they know is false, they know is inflammatory, they know arouses the passions, and they know is potentially deadly when it fills the ears and minds of susceptible, vulnerable people like this shooter in Buffalo, who hear it as a call to action. They don't hear it as rhetoric. They don't hear it as entertainment, infotainment, which is one way you could describe a lot of the shows on Fox, at least in the evening, as infotainment. But that's not the way people are hearing this stuff. They hear it as a call to action, and action, in this case, means killing people.
His argument is awful. It's absurd, it's stupid, it's intellectually dishonest. It's unethical for him to suggest that people doing, including the many journalists who are not even commentators, who are just doing journalism at Fox News, are somehow in any way connected to or responsible for this. But this is just what the emotionally driven Democrats do. There's a tragedy, they politicize it right away. Notice how the right, conservatives, do not all immediately after an incident that would fall into a narrative that the left is very uncomfortable with, say, the mass murder of people using a vehicle instead of a gun at a Christmas parade in Waukesha driven by an anti-white, hateful lunatic, or the attempted mass murder and the mass shooting of individuals in the New York City subway system recently. That perpetrator was an African-American male. And so the narrative that the media generally wants to focus on of white supremacist terrorism did not apply. We don't, though, say that those incidents, those acts, are in any way the responsibility of the mainstream Democrats, just like the Bernie Sanders voter, who was a big Rachel Maddow TV watcher, who tried to murder members of Congress, about a dozen of them, on a baseball field in Alexandria, Virginia in 2018. That was not the fault of Bernie Sanders. I've never said it was the fault of Bernie Sanders, and yet here we are. And then there are people who are just honestly jealous of the success that some of their media counterparts and competition have had that far outstrips their own, and so they take this as an opportunity for cheap shots. And none other than the intellectually absurd Joe Scarborough used this as a chance to say it's about those news networks, and he just means one, of course, that are breeding greater fear. Watch.
Like that infected appendage still attached to the GOP, the Trump wing, fueled by white grievance and wild conspiracies. Those conspiracies pushed by a former president, House Republican leaders, social media monopolies, and a powerful cable news network, working every day to turn white against black, white against Hispanic, white against Muslim, and white against Jew. It is the most grotesque of marketing schemes. It is killing, yes, literally killing those very Americans whose existence is now being used as leverage.
The pathetic and dishonest moralizing from Joe Scarborough there is not surprising. He's somebody who has sold out everything that he ever claimed to believe in for a paycheck to have a very meager audience over at MSNBC. So this is not in any way a surprise to see him take such a disgraceful position on this matter, to try to blame everybody within the GOP. But let's actually talk about the other measures, the other things that the Democrats say should be done now. There is the immediate call for social media control to be stronger, because the shooter here, who is a mass murdering lunatic and should spend the rest of his life in jail or have his life ended by the state with a lethal injection in his arm. That's also a possibility here, and would be fully justified, that he live streamed the shooting on Twitch. Well, it turned out that Twitch took off that live stream within 2 minutes. That's pretty fast for a social media live stream company to be able to say, look, we got it off within 2 minutes and then pulled it off everywhere where it existed. But that wasn't good enough for some politicians. Then, of course, there are the usual calls for gun control. But are Democrats even serious about calling for gun control in this midterm election year? Here's Pelosi. Watch.
You and other Democrats call for new gun restrictions year after year. Democrats have unified control of the House and the Senate and the White House. I know that in the House you've repeatedly passed gun measures and that your majorities in Congress are slim. But should you and the president and other Democratic leaders make this a bigger priority?
It is a huge priority for us, and it has been a huge priority for Joe Biden, for President Biden.
She says it is a huge priority for them. So apparently going to the midterm election year, they think that they will do something on guns. But would that have actually had any real effect whatsoever on the midterm election? I mean, on this this incident? No, the answer is there's nothing that they will come up with that would have actually prevented this, but they don't care. They don't want to look at what actually could be more effective. Early warning, intervention by law enforcement able to lock people up for longer periods of time who are actual violent threats to the community, wherever they are, all across the country. Concealed carry permits for individuals. All of that, for law-abiding individuals, all of that could actually have an effect here and could stop a mass shooting situation. But they just want to point at Republicans and say, you're evil, we're the good people here, the Democrats. And that's not going to help anything. It's not true. And it just adds to this this bitter partisan divide in the country right now. And then, as I said, I was in Chicago over the weekend, and there was a shooting right where I was standing a couple of hours later at the Bean, which is a famous, here you go, 33 shot, 5 fatally. One of those fatal shootings happened right where I was standing at the Bean, a tourist attraction in Chicago over the weekend. And now there's a curfew in effect for that park. So there's violence that's happening all over the country that needs a serious policy, serious program to address. All right, we'll have more on this with author and columnist David Marcus coming up. First, I want to talk to you about protecting your online data. A lot of companies promise your privacy is guaranteed, but we know that's not true. That's why you need a new privacy and cybersecurity application tool called Secure. It's spelled S-E-K-U-R. Secure is using proprietary encryption and offering secure instant messaging and email. With Secure, all of your communications based on servers and data centers hosted in Switzerland without using any of the big tech platforms. Privacy is a big issue now. Without real security, people can read your emails, messages, even your bank information. Secure will never mine your data and never ask for your phone number. You can send emails to your doctor, banker, lawyer, or anyone else with total confidence you're not being spied on by your internet provider or big tech. Secure is your solution to stop the constant theft of your digital identity. It costs only $5 for the messenger, only $10 for the messenger and email combination package. Go to secure.com and take back your privacy today. That's S-E-K-U-R.com. And use promo code BUCK for 25% off. We'll be right back with more. Hold the line.
Support for my podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Their products are precision-engineered tools. Manscaped's performance package is the ultimate men's hygiene bundle. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with its exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code BUCK at manscaped.com. The Performance Package 4.0 includes a ton of men's grooming products like the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, performance boxer briefs, and a bunch of other great men's hygiene products you never knew you needed, plus a travel bag to hold it all. The Lawnmower trimmer is the best. It's got a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents, and it's waterproof, so no more messes on the bathroom floor. You'll also get the waterproof Weed Whacker nose and ear hair trimmer with proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps reduce nicks, snags, and tugs in all those delicate areas. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code BUCK at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com, and use code BUCK to unlock your confidence and always use the right tools with Manscaped.
Left rushed to politicize this shooting that left 10 dead in upstate New York. Just hours after the shooting, New York Governor Kathy Hochul demanded that social media companies shut down discussion of so-called replacement theory. Watch.
I want to know what people knew and when they knew it, and calling upon our law enforcement as well as our social media platforms, the CEOs of those companies need to be held accountable and assure all of us that they're taking every step humanly possible to be only monitoring this information. The white supremacy concept of replacement theory, where they're concerned and now taking to the streets in places like Charlottesville and others, motivated by this idea that immigrants and Jews and blacks are going to replace whites. And that is spreading through social media platforms that need to be monitored and shut down the second these words are espoused out there in these platforms. It has to stop.
Joining me now is author and columnist David Marcus. David, appreciate you being with us.
Thanks, Buck.
Kathy Hochul, and I really mean this, I don't think she's a particularly bright person. I don't think she is very capable. Does she really think that if only social media companies tried to crack down on speech even more, you wouldn't have one lone gunman lunatic like this that once in a while, unfortunately, tragically, would engage in this kind of a mass shooting? I mean, it seems to me that their solutions to prevent these kinds of incidents are just unserious.
No, look, I think she just sees a political opportunity here. And, you know, that's why when you have these horrible tragedies, in this case, a blatantly racist, you know, set of murders here, unfortunately, everybody in the news media knows that as soon as it happens, the first question is, you know, what was the political ideology? The American people start saying, you know, was this person on my team or was they on, you know, on the other team? And the answer, of course, is they're not on anybody's team, right? This evil lunatic in Buffalo isn't on anybody's team. The guy who shot up the subway in Brooklyn isn't on anybody's team. You know, we had four reporters at the White House press conference today specifically try to get the White House to blame Republican politicians or different media figures. You know, it's divisive, it's predictable, and it's really standing in the way of some important discourse that might help us stop these kinds of events. Although, as you say, they are rare, they're a problem, and we ought to be serious about them.
Yes, and the issue of violence across the country, which was also unfortunately on display this past weekend, it's fascinating. The media spends so much less time on what the reality is of over 95% of the murders that are occurring in the country, which is it is young men who are shooting other young men disproportionately involving and targeting the minority community in places like Chicago, places like New York. They don't want to discuss ending or stopping that in a serious way. They'll say that it's police racism. They'll say that it's other things. And then in a situation like this, we're going to hear more about gun control. And yet the gun control measures that they're this. I feel like we do this all the time, David, right? And I wonder at what point the public tires of Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer saying, well, if we had only banned assault rifles, this wouldn't have happened. There's a mass shooter in California the same weekend who used two pistols. So then are we going to ban pistols? I mean, what is the... It just seems like we keep coming back to the same discussion. And really, the Democrats are the loudest voices on it. Just want to say, Republicans are evil. This is their fault somehow.
Yeah, look, I think that's right. And I do think that to some extent, some conservatives have a tendency to say something like this overt white supremacy just doesn't exist in our society anymore. And that's not true. It certainly does in prisons. It certainly does in these sort of dark corners of the internet. And that's what we need to be focused on if we want to stop this, not monitoring Americans with you know, disinformation boards, but the kind of police and law enforcement intelligence that's sort of normal and natural. These calls to, you know, gun control was not going to stop this. It's just not a serious solution to the problem. So why don't we have a serious conversation about it?
And the very specific, I mean, this does not happen in the same way when there is a narrative that, or rather when the shooting falls into a different narrative, right? I mean, in the aftermath of Waukesha, for example, where a black man specifically drove his car intentionally and murdered many people in the streets, you know, crushed them, murdered people, is horrific. You didn't have the biggest, loudest voices in the Republican Party all saying, this is Nancy Pelosi's fault, or this is Rachel Maddow's fault, or Anderson Cooper's fault. We didn't do that. In the aftermath of this, You have, it's all over the internet. It's all over cable news channels. They're specifically not just calling out Fox News Channel. They're calling out certain hosts on Fox as though they're personally responsible for this.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. And you're very right about the discrepancy between how this operates on the right and how this operates on the left. And I'll say, you know, since I threw a little shade at conservatives who maybe paint too rosy a picture of race relations in the United States, the Democrats, this line that white nationalist violence or white supremacy is the greatest threat to the homeland is absurd. Right. Everybody knows that it's absurd. And so I really think that a lot of this rhetoric is in service of that, frankly, bizarre notion that just has a lot of purchase on the left right now.
There's a part of me that doesn't even want to ask you about this, David, but I'm curious about your take, because giving this person attention almost feels like it's not only a distraction, but maybe this is just what she wants. Liz Cheney, who is still technically a Republican, tweeted out, the House GOP leadership has enabled white nationalism, white supremacy, and anti-Semitism. History has taught us what begins with words ends in far worse. GOP leaders must renounce and reject these viewers and those who hold them. I mean, is she comically idiotic or comically awful? Or because it's just so stupid. I mean, what she's saying is so absurd that the GOP is where all the anti-Semitism is? That would be news to most of the Jews that come out and speak about where the anti-Semitism is in Congress, because it's Democrats.
Yeah, it's grandstanding. It's self-aggrandizing. I mean, I saw that tweet this morning, and because, you know, for my job, I have to be one of the 12 people who watches CNN, you know, 45 minutes later, there's the tweet on CNN. That's the purpose of it. It's all to sort of gin up this ridiculous January 6th committee. It's foolishness. And I think I think the vast majority of Republican voters really hope that the voters of Wyoming do their job soon and we don't have to deal with Liz Cheney anymore.
David, appreciate you being with us. Good to see you.
Thanks, Buck.
Amazon founder Jeff Bezos blasting President Biden over the weekend, claiming Senator Joe Manchin saved the White House from themselves by shooting down Build Back Better. We'll have more on that on tonight's Buck Brief. First, let's talk about protecting your home's title. If you own a home or property, here's two reasons you never want to become the victim of home title fraud. Number one, when a cyber criminal worms his way under your home's title, he'll take out loan after loan using your home's equity, then he'll vanish, leaving you to prove you didn't commit fraud. Number two, you could be a victim of home title fraud and not even know it for months. No agency notifies you or asks you if you sold your home or added someone to the title. You'll find out when the collection calls start for loans you never took out. Nobody knows more about how to help stop this crime than Home Title Lock, America's trusted leader. Here's what I urge you to do. Go to HomeTitleLock.com, read the testimonials from retired FBI agents and others, then register your home address to see if you're already a victim. When you protect your home, tell them Buck Sexton sent you for 30 free days of protection. HomeTitleLock.com, that's HomeTitleLock.com. Stephen Moore stops by. Stay with us. Amazon founder Jeff Bezos is taking a wrecking ball to the Biden administration's handling of inflation, tweeting, quote, the administration tried hard to inject even more stimulus into an already overheated inflationary economy, and only Manchin saved them from themselves. Inflation is a regressive tax that most hurts the least affluent. Misdirection doesn't help the country. This is the second time this week Bezos has blasted Biden's Build Back Better plan. It looks like he's not stopping there. We'll get into it in tonight's Buck Brief. So let's start with the basics. What causes inflation? Government spending. No serious person, no real economist or anybody else who understands the basics of economic theory would tell you otherwise. It's an issue of monetary policy, straight up and straightforward. So then why is the Biden administration pretending it's all these other things? Well, as you know, the Biden regime likes to spend a whole lot of money, and they like to spend on things that they view as either being social justice or climate change related, just spreading the wealth around, the usual class warfare nonsense. Turns out that actually would make inflation worse. And we should all know that. That should be obvious. And in fact, it is so obvious that even Democrat Jeff Bezos, one of the richest people in the world, has started to take the Biden White House to task for this. The White House put out a statement on Bezos' tweets, by the way. It doesn't require a huge leap to figure out why one of the wealthiest individuals on Earth opposes an economic agenda for the middle class that cuts some of the biggest costs families fight, fights inflation for the long haul, whatever the hell that means, and adds the historic deficit reduction the president is achieving by asking the richest taxpayers and corporations to pay their fair share, which is the stupidest talking point on the planet. It's also unsurprising this tweet comes after the president met with labor organizers, including Amazon employees. So White House, you're taking shots directly at Jeff Bezos. And they're trying to pretend that, first of all, this notion of fighting inflation for the long haul by raising taxes on the rich, that's going to fight inflation for the long haul. What about inflation over the next 6 months? What about inflation while people can't actually afford groceries the way they used to be able to before Joe Biden was president? No, they don't want to think about any of that. Bezos, for his part, is not sitting back and taking this, which was good to see. He replied to the White House's statement. Look, a squirrel. This is the White House's statement about my recent tweets. They understandably want to muddy the topic, but no, inflation hurts the neediest the most. But unions aren't causing inflation, and neither are wealthy people. Remember, the administration tried their best to add another $3.5 trillion to federal spending. They failed, but if they had succeeded, inflation would be even higher than it is today, and inflation today is at a 40-year high. Now, this is a roundhouse kick to the face of the Biden regime. There's no question about it. When somebody who not only built and runs the largest products and goods company really in the world, Amazon, is saying that inflation is a huge problem and that it would be worse if the Democrats actually got what they wanted, which is clearly true, people sit up and take notice. So understand that as bad as inflation is, what Jeff Bezos is telling you is that the Democrats fought tooth and nail to make inflation worse. They wanted to spend trillions more, additionally, beyond where we already are. And if we're not for Joe Manchin standing in their way, they would have been able to. Joe Manchin goes along with this plan, and Kristen Sinema as well. And all of a sudden, you have additional trillions of government spending on the books. And what would happen? Inflation would rise even more. So this is a real political liability for Democrats because it makes clear that not only have they done a crappy job, if they weren't stopped from doing exactly what they wanted to do, even more so, the inflation situation would be even worse than it currently is. Now, alongside the inflation problem, of course, there's the situation of the baby formula shortage out there right now. Now, Abbott Labs put out something on baby formula saying that there was an exhaustive and thorough. Now, this is from the company, so take that with a grain of salt. They said that there has been no actual connection to the two deaths of infants and the bacteria that was found in their systems and actual contamination of the Abbott facility. But it was shut down anyway by the FDA and hasn't been able to get back online. Now we're being told that Abbott Labs is going to be able to put more formula on the shelves in a matter of weeks. The Biden administration has gone from, in the last 10 days or so, this is not our problem, we can't do anything about this, to, oh, no, don't worry, we'll fix this, because they realized people were outraged. And yeah, it does seem very strange, to put it mildly to people, that the Biden regime is so quick to send $40 billion to Ukraine, but doesn't seem all that bothered by the realities of the baby formula shortage, where people are scrambling. Parents are desperate and scrambling to try to get baby formula because it just isn't on the shelf in so many places. Well, the HHS has stepped in, and of course the federal government, showing us how incompetent they are, they stepped in on the baby formula shortage, and here's how it looks on the HHS website. The Biden-Harris administration is working to ensure that infant formula is safe and available for families across the country. Yesterday, President Biden spoke with retailers and manufacturers, including Walmart, Target, Reckitt, and Gerber, to discuss ways to get more formula quickly and safely on the store shelves. Thanks to these efforts, manufacturers have ramped up production 30 to 50%, bringing total production today above pre-recall levels, with a different mix of products and sizes now available in the market. So they do have, in fact, they did have levers that they could push on this, according to the Biden administration, and HHS now has a website about this. Apparently, the website's also having some problems. But then why do they pretend that this wasn't their problem at all a week ago? Because honestly, the incompetence of this Biden administration, the people that are in charge, is hard to overstate. I mean, these people are just not very bright. That's really where we are with the Biden administration. That's the situation as it is unfolding. One other thing I want to put out there for you. American households right now, I'm concerned. I'm seeing real warnings. We could have a major downturn in the housing market. Think about what that would do to the economy. We could be heading for stagflation or recession. Who knows? American household debt increased the first quarter of this year. Total household debt increased $266 billion, reaching $15.84 trillion. That is an increase of $1.7 trillion from the end of 2019. People have a lot of debt, a lot of household debt right now. And if housing values go down dramatically, we could see some real stormy waters in the economy. All right, former White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki was getting quite emotional during the introduction of her replacement, Karine Jean-Pierre. We'll talk to Rob Smith when we come back in just a moment.
Before I get to the briefing, I just want to start by, I'm going to cry. I just want to take the opportunity to celebrate and congratulate my friend, my colleague, my partner in truth, Karine Jean-Pierre, the next White House Press Secretary.
Former White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki got emotional during the introduction of her replacement, Karine Jean-Pierre. Now that the role has officially been handed over, everybody wants to know, are we getting another version of Jen Psaki effectively at the podium? Or perhaps something that could be even more divisive or dishonest in terms of the propaganda? Join me now to discuss this, host of the brand new podcast, Can't Cancel, Rob Smith. Mr. Rob Smith, good to see you, sir.
What's going on, Buck? How you doing?
I mean, what is your reaction to this? I mean, I have to say, Jen Psaki, look, the White House press secretary, maybe people feel like it used to be a role that was more of a government role. Now it is whichever administration you're talking about. It's somebody who is advancing the interests of the administration through PR, right? And Jen Psaki was an aggressive PR flack. What do you expect from her replacement?
Well, first of all, I thought it was really funny when she said, "This is my partner in truth." That is actually hysterical. I really wanted to laugh at that. But what I expect from Karine Jean-Pierre is not to be, look, you say what you want about Jen Psaki, because what she did was she got up there and she lied to the American public, but she was a very, very good liar and she was a very good propagandist for the Biden administration. What to be expected from Karine Jean-Pierre if any of these videos of her calling everything racist on cable news over the past 10 years is to be any sort of indication, is that we're gonna get somebody that is less polished, we're gonna get somebody that is probably a little bit more emotional, and we're also gonna get, and what I'm really not looking forward to, is how the mainstream media is going to come in and sort of try to protect Karine Jean-Pierre because she is a black woman. Now, mind you, Peter Ducey at Fox News was one of the most aggressive questioners of Jen Psaki, and we all got a real kick out of seeing them go back and forth, because Fox News is probably one of the only outlets in that White House press room that is asking any real questions. So what I think we're going to see is Peter Ducey asking Karine Jean-Pierre these tough questions, and a lot of people in the mainstream media say, "Oh, look at a racist Fox News reporter Peter Ducey being racist and aggressive towards black White House press secretary Karine Jean-Pierre." So you're gonna be seeing a lot of that, especially from the wing of the mainstream media that is basically the black liberal wing that talks about nothing but race all the time ad nauseum. We're gonna hear a lot more from them with Karine Jean-Pierre at the helm.
Here is the new White House press secretary. To your point about how race and racism conversations in the media are likely to become even more common around the issue of the new White House press secretary. Here she is saying that she thinks a lot of things are racist.
We want to put up these awful voter registration, voter suppression laws, which is racism, to make it difficult for people of color to vote.
And voter suppression is racism. That's exactly what it is.
Fox News was racist before coronavirus. They are racist during the coronavirus. Fox News will be racist after the coronavirus.
Racism was here before Donald Trump, and sadly, it will be here after Donald Trump.
It walks like a racist, talks like a racist, acts like a racist. It is a racist.
I mean, I'm sure we could have gone on with that clip if we had wanted to for probably the whole segment, just having her talking about how everything is racist. Do you think this may get tiresome, or is this a tactic that we should expect from the new White House press secretary?
I think it's a tactic. It's not only a tactic from her, it's a tactic from the Biden administration. Like I said, these people want America to be focused on nothing but race and racism and the culture wars and all that other stuff. Because if we're not focused on race and racism and the culture wars, then we're focused on the absolute incompetence that has come from this administration. Then we're focused on high gas prices. Then we're focused on expensive groceries. Then we're focusing on the crisis on the border. We're focusing on this administration, which has been one disaster after the next for the past 18 months. They do not want us to focus on these things. So, they're gonna bring out the black White House press secretary. They're gonna call everything racist, and everything is going to be a conversation about whether aggressive questioning of her is racist, whether Fox News or any other conservative leaning outlets that ask real questions are being racist for aggressive questioning. So they want us to be talking about this stuff. They want us to be talking about anything other than their absolute failures on multiple levels.
And the New York Post has done a little bit of checking up on the new White House press secretary. They looked at Jean-Pierre's tweets between 2015 and 2020 and found a staggering 57 instances where she accused people, policies, ideas, or words of being racist. 57 times. Jean-Pierre accused people and ideas she was opposed to as racist at least 43 times in TV appearances. So she definitely likes to lob that accusation around.
Yes, she does. And the thing about the, I want to call it sort of like the black liberal ecosystem in the media, which is, you have a lot of people that get these jobs as flags for organizations. She was a senior advisor for Move On. She was a spokesperson, all of this other stuff. And it seems like the primary qualification is literally just being black and calling things racist. And so you get your 10,000 hours of calling things racist in the mainstream media and on cable news under your belt. Then I guess you're rewarded with a position like this. It's kind of unreal, but this is where we are. I hope that they surprise me. I hope that we don't devolve into constant conversations about everything and everyone being racist when she takes the helm of the White House as the White House press secretary. But I am not hopeful.
Rob, you've also launched, switching gears here, a new podcast,
yes.
And dare I say, you are a fearless and insightful fellow all the time. So looking forward to hearing some of this. Can't Cancel Rob Smith is the name of the podcast. Tell us, what is the mission for it and what can people expect?
I think the mission for Can't Cancel Rob Smith is just to have sort of these honest conversations with my take on things. Buck, that I don't always toe the conservative line when it comes to opinions about things. I think that the podcast space allows me to have more nuanced conversations with my followers and fans. I like to call them the problematics. And, I had a podcast before. I got put on ice for a lot of different legal reasons. We're not going to go into all of those. But I really missed having that outlet because, Buck, you have this show, you do the radio thing and all that. And you get more time to really break down the issues and really delve into things than you get in maybe a 3 to 4 minute, cable news segment or even one of the longer segments that we do. So Can't Cancel Rob Smith, find it on Apple Podcasts, iHeart Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. We're going to be launching, we're actually launched right now. We're going to be going Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday every week. So definitely download and subscribe to that. If you like me, if you like what you're hearing, there's going to be a lot more of it.
Rob, real quick, when are we going to switch chairs? I've never been interviewed by Rob Smith, so this would be, I've had you on so many times. I want to be on the hot seat, huh? You got to put me in the mix here.
Oh, we'll definitely do that, man. I try to get my audience get them used to hearing me running my mouth a lot, but we're definitely going to get you on the podcast and get your take.
Wow, look at this.
I think maybe
you make the cut. Maybe you don't make the cut. We'll see. All right, Rob. It's going to be a good podcast.
You're always going to make the cut. And, I think that the radio show needs a little bit more promotion. So if I can help you out, I'll do that.
I appreciate that. Good to see you, my friend. Thanks for making time for us today.
All right, Buck. No worries.
Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas takes a shot at the U.S. media. We have that video and more in tonight's Quick Hit. Stay with us. Dr. Fauci gives us another reason to support Donald Trump, and Kamala Harris proving once again that her rhetorical skills are not what you'd think they would be at this point, given she's the vice president of the United States. We have those stories coming up in quick hits. First of all, Fauci was not an abject coward. He would come forward and say to people who are still, as I saw on a flight this weekend, double masking on planes, young people in some cases, 25, 30 years old, masking on planes. Why? Do they mask anywhere else? No. But they know that the Democrats who take the virus seriously still mask on planes. It's all social and virtue signaling. It has really no bearing whatsoever on science. If Fauci were truly a man of science, if he actually cared about the people who are putting themselves through this absurdity and all the anxiety and discomfort that comes along with it, he would say, go live your lives normally. He won't do that because he is a megalomaniac and a coward. And he has been more destructive. His ideology when it comes to how to handle the pandemic has been more destructive than any other human being in America, and I would argue the world. Now, Fauci would say, and is willing to say at least at this point, that if Trump were to win the presidency, he would quit. Watch.
If Trump were to return to the White House as president, and COVID is still a threat, or there's some other public health emergency, would you have confidence in his ability? Would you have confidence in his ability to deal with a pandemic of this nature? Would you want to stay on in your post?
Well, no, to the second question. The first question.
I think
is,
I knew the answer, but I had to ask you.
If you look at the history of what the response was during the administration, I think, you know, at best you could say it wasn't optimal. And I think just history will speak for itself about that. I don't need to make any further comment on that, Jim. It's not productive.
You would not serve with Trump again, though. Fair to say.
Right. For sure.
Oh, interesting. Because that's not what he was saying, of course, when he was trying to keep his job under Trump. And also, does Fauci have an explanation for why more people died under Biden's first year than under Trump's last year when the pandemic was in its first year and therefore its most dangerous, no vaccine in distribution until the very end of Trump's 2020 year in office? So what exactly is the explanation for that? In what way was Biden better? By terrifying people? By telling them to wear masks like morons all over the place? Yeah, Fauci's the worst. Justice Thomas is the best. He's amazing, actually. He's a national treasure, a fantastic human being, a brilliant mind. And he had some choice words for the lib media recently. Watch this one.
One of the things I say in response to the media is when they talk about, or especially early on, about the way I did my job, I said, I will absolutely leave the court when I do my job as poorly as you do yours. And that was meant as a compliment, really.
He's right. They do their job very poorly. And he does his job incredibly well, of course, in the Supreme Court, and the libs absolutely despise him for it. But hopefully, the five justices who have some integrity, some decency, and some honor as it pertains to the Constitution will hold the line, so to speak, and drop the decision that will overturn Roe v. Wade. And then on to something that's certainly a lighter situation, certainly less grave than the future of Roe v. Wade. And that is the status of the vice president in public life. Kamala Harris, you would think that Joe Biden would be the one with the most amusing gaps, but I just want you to notice Kamala Harris here. This is, in 30 seconds, notice what she says a few times about climate change. Watch.
I often note and have talked with many of you about our shared belief that our world is increasingly more interconnected and interdependent. That is especially true when it comes to the climate crisis, which is why we will work together and continue to work together to address these issues, to tackle these challenges, and to work together as we continue to work operating from the new norms, rules, and agreements that we will convene to work together on to galvanize global action. With that, I thank you all. This is a matter of urgent priority for all of us, and I know we will work on this together.
Does she want them to work on it together? I'm not clear on that. That's it for tonight's Hold the Line. The no-spin news with Bill O'Reilly is next. Field time.
Who is there for heroes of the families left behind when a service member or first responder dies or is catastrophically injured in the line of duty? Who helps our country's homeless veterans? And who helps our nation to never forget 9/11? Let me tell you who: the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. The foundation's Gold Star, Fallen First Responder, Smart Home, and Homeless Veteran programs comprise their In the Line of Duty programs. They're all dedicated to honoring our nation's heroes and their families. The foundation's Never Forget programs engage people in 9/11 remembrance across America. Over 80 runs, walks, and climbs a year. Dozens of golf outings. And the Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Institute is educating kids kindergarten through 12th grade to help our nation keep its vow to never forget. More than 95 cents of every dollar you donate to Tunnel to Towers goes to its programs. Never forget the sacrifices of our country's greatest heroes. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. The stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on,
but we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.